Inna alhamdulillah. Verily all praise is due to Allah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. We praise Him, we seek His assistance, and we ask Him to forgive us. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. And we seek refuge with Allah from the evils of our own selves and from the consequences of our bad deeds. من يهده الله فلا مضل له. Whoever Allah guides, no one can lead him astray. ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. And whoever He allows to stray can never be guided. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. I openly testify that there is no one worthy of any type of worship other than Allah. وحده alone. لا شريك له. No partner does He have. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And I testify that Muhammad was His servant and final messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. Amma ba'du, as for what follows this evening, then by the grace of Allah Ta'ala alone, He has allowed us to gather for our third sitting in explanation of Surah Al-Qamar from the tafsir of the great scholar Shaykh Al-Islam Al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen. Rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him. And with that, we will go into today's material, insha'Allah ta'ala. We're on page... Walaykum salam wa rahmatullah. We're on page 268. And what are you saying, Yusuf? Yeah, move up even more, barakallahu fikum. Allahumma zid wa barik. We're all the way down, three-fourths down the page with the red ayat. وَقَالُوا مَجْنُونَ. The last part of the ayat that we left last time. وَقَالُوا مَجْنُونٌ. And they would say, in rejecting their prophet, Nuh, they would say, مَجْنُون, he's crazy. الْمَجْنُونُ فَاقِدُ الْعَقَلِ. Our Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, may Allah have mercy on him, said, مَجْنُون is the person who doesn't have a sane mind. The word مَجْنُون as well could mean the person who has a jinn, he's possessed. It's used classically in both cases. مَجْنُون linguistically comes from jinn. And he... Jannah, حَلَّ جِنٌّ فِيهِ فَهُوَ مَجْنُونَ. Right, it's maf'ul from Jannah يَجُنُّ. So it could mean that he has a jinn with him. And obviously when you have a jinn with you, you're not in control of your intellect if the jinn has taken over. Or مَجْنُون also means غَيْرَ عَاقِل, not عَاقِل, he doesn't have control of his senses, even if it's not because of a jinn. So someone with a disorder or some kind of, you know, malfunction with his brain or something, who cannot, you know, use his faculties, he's majnoon because he's not in control of his intellect. طيب. الَّذِي يَهْذِي بِمَا لَا يَدْرِي. The majnoon is the one who speaks with things he doesn't understand. He just says things and he doesn't really know what he's doing. Right? Insane. قَالُوا إِنَّهُ مَجْنُون. They were saying about him that he is crazy or possessed. وَهَذِهِ الْقَوْلَ قِيلَتْ لِكُلِّ الرَّسُلِ. And this accusation, or this statement of accusation, has been said, or had been said, about all of the messengers. قال الله تعالى كذلك ما أتى الذين من قبلهم من رسول إلا قالوا ساحر أو مجنون. As Allah said in Surah Al-Dhariyat, which you'll find the explanation of with Mirath Radio. That was the first surah we did, I believe. No, it wasn't. It was, yeah. It was the first surah we did in this series. You'll find that in some 8 or 9, how many is it? Something like that, 8, 9, 10 sittings or so. So this ayat, and thus, no prophet came to the people before him, or no prophet from a prophet of old came to the people except that they said, and there was no case ever of any messenger coming except that it was said about him, he's Majnoon, that the people responded by saying Majnoon or Sahir, or he is a magician. Magician or Majnoon. طيب. That's from Surah Al-Dhariyat. وَأَوْ هُنَا إِمَّا لِلْتَنْوِيعِ يَعْنِي بَعْضُهُمْ يَقُولُ سَاحِرْ وَبَعْضُهُمْ يَقُولُ مَجْنُونَ. And the O here, سَاحِرٌ أَوْ مَجْنُونَ, سَاحِرٌ أَوْ مَجْنُونَ. This or, what does it mean? does it mean that they all said he's crazy or a magician? Or does it mean some of them said he's crazy and some of them said he's a magician? The Sheikh says here, إِمَّا لِتَنْوِيَ يعني بعضهم يقول ساحر وبعضهم يقول مجنون. It's either for a variety, to express the variety of the statements of the people. Some of them said he was crazy, others said that he was a magician. And then the Sheikh says here, and I reviewed the audio, there's a mistake though, it's a easy mistake to correct. He says, أَوْ أَنَّهَا لِتَنْوِيَ. Did you see the expression here? The first possibility is that it's for tanwiya, from a nowa. You know wi'u. Nowa'a, you know wi'u, tanwiyan, to bring a variety of things. Alright, so that was the first one. Some people said Majnun, and other kinds of people said he's crazy. Or other people said he's a magician. Some said crazy, some said magician. And then he said, أَوْ أَنَّهَا لِتَنْوِيَ. The same word. Or it's for tanwiya. So obviously the Sheikh had a second explanation that he meant to explain here. And I'm guessing, knowing the Sheikh, that he probably meant a tawheed, or tawheed al-maqula, that they said, they all would say to him, he's either a magician or a crazy. Meaning they actually said this or that. The individuals amongst them said, crazy or a magician. Not that some people said crazy, and some people said magician, but rather they said crazy or magician. He's one of the two. He's either crazy or a magician, right? So, but he says here, or tanwiya, or that some of them said that. يعني بمعنى أن بعض المكذبين يقول ساحر وبعضهم يقول مجنون. And he explained the same position as the first one. But remember, this printed tafsir that you have in front of you is a transcription from live lessons, and this kind of thing happens in live speech. It was the job of the transcribers from the Sheikh's foundation to adjust this and fix it so that it doesn't appear as a repetition here, and they would include the intended meaning that the Sheikh wanted here. Perhaps this one would be in a footnote because it's not clear what he intended for the second possibility. And Allahu Ta'ala knows best. So either some of them said, and this is actually tafsir of the verse, it's not from the verses we're looking at anyway, right? So some of them said sahir, or he's crazy, or some of them said he's just a magician, or some of them said he's crazy alone. Was dujir. Now here comes a word, was dujir. Visual aid time. This comes up. Okay. Zujira zajiran shadida. Yani, the people were severely prohibited from this kind of thing. From this kind of accusation. They were prohibited from this kind of interaction with their prophets. Was dujir. Zujira, the zajir, is to be prohibited with some kind of emphasis. Perhaps with a promise of punishment or recourse, if the forbidden thing is actually enacted. Izdajara is a ziyada. It's more letters in the word zajara. Izdajara. Now the Shaykh is going to explain that. Was zajiru huwa an-nahr. بِشِدَّةٍ وَعُنْفٍ. So, zajr is to severely warn someone against something with harshness, severity of tone. وَالدَّالُ هُنَا مُنْقَلِبَةٌ عَنْ تَاءٍ. The dal here, this is an Arabic language point here, is it's produced after being a ta. فَعَلَ. Take a look at the scale. We call this a mizan sarfi, a sarf scale. Fa'ala, ifta'ala. We added an alif in the beginning of fa'ala, and we added a ta between the fa and the ayn. And we got ifta'ala. Tayyib? A quick example would be, give me an example. Who knows an example? Huh? Idtaraba? Idtaraba. Good. There's qalb in that. I don't want that one. There's qalb in it. I want a clear example. All letters remain without a qalb. Idtaraba is originally daraba, from خلاص, leave the taraba, give an easier one here. Ijtama'a, that's a common one. Ijtama'a, you heard of ijtima'a? Ijtama'a, from jama'a. And then we took the jama'a, jim, meem, and ayn, on the fa, ayn, and lam, if you're starting to understand the way that works, three letters, the fa and the ayn and the lam here in sarf, morphology, they're generic letters. They represent the first, second, and third letters of a three-lettered verb. So look at jama'a, fa'ala, jama'a, right? Then put in aleph in the beginning and a ta between the first and second letters, and you get ijtama'a, ijtama'a. So here we have zajara, right? Zajara. And then if we put a ta there, it would become what? Is tajara. Is tajara. Then the ta changed into a dal, because the Arabs would change ta's into dals based on the need, the closeness of the makharij in certain words. So it was easier for the Arabs to say is dahara instead of is, I'm sorry, zajara. Zajara or is tajara, they would say is dajara, changing the ta into a dal, going against the basic rule of saying is tajara. They would say is dajara. And Amin gave us, what was it? Id taraba. From daraba. Daraba and id taraba. It became il with a dad, taraba with a ta. Il taraba. And then the ta became a ta because it's like a dad. It's closer to the dad. So it became id taraba and it's mudtarib. Right? That's a bit advanced for sarf. I didn't want to use that because it's a bit advanced. But it is similar to this one in how the ta, the original ta here, was changed into a del, some another letter that's more appropriate for the zay here. Tayyib, that's what the sheikh is talking about. And that's related to sarf, very important science in the Arabic language, where you break down how words come out, the letters and the placement of the letters, and how they enrich the meaning of the basic thulathi or three-letter base verb. Very important science. Was dujir. طيب والدالو هنا منقلبة عن تاء. And he's saying the dal in his was dujir was originally a ta based on that explanation. وقد قال العلماء, and the ulama have said, إن زيادة المبنى تدل على زيادة المعنى. The scholars have said that whenever you increase the letters in a word, that the very least thing you can say about it is the meaning has become enriched somewhat. The meaning increases. It can't be the same meaning as zajara. Is zajara has to have an additional meaning on top of basically just zajara. Remember, zajara means to prohibit someone with force or with some kind of harsh tone. وَالْمَعْنَى أَنَّهُ زَجَرٌ شَدِيدٌ. They were seriously, or in an emphasized way, they were forbidden from that. وَقَوْلُهُ وَزْدُجِرْ يَنْبَغِي أَنْ لَا تُوصَلْ بِمَا قَبْلَهَا. And this phrase was dujir should not be read as part of, connected to the first part of the verse, right? Meaning we read the verse فكذبوا عبدنا وقالوا مجنون وزدجر. We should stop at مجنون وقالوا مجنون وزدجر, right? And we should continue after a break. That's what the sheikh says here. Why? Let's find out why. لأنك لو وصلت وقلت وقالوا مجنون وازدجر لتوهم السامع أنهم يقولون مجنون وازدجر. If you read it straight without stopping, it would possibly produce the understanding that this is what they said about the Prophet, that he's crazy and he's been forbidden. And that's not what they were saying. They were saying he's crazy. But they were forbidden from such behavior with their prophets. Was dujir. طيب يعني زجره يقولون أيوة يعني زجره غيرنا that he's been prohibited or he's been stopped, he's been threatened by other than us. لكن المعنى خلاف ذلك. And I'm sorry, I've misrepresented a bit of what the sheikh is trying to say here. Let me go back and say that again. Is dajaruhu, these are the people, the same people who are saying he's Majnun, they were threatening him. They were threatening him and saying things to try to get him to stop. They were warning him severely and threatening him. As will come later with Ibrahim, they said, what did his father say to him? لَإِن لَمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ. If you don't stop, we're going to stone you. Right? And they would speak to their prophets like this, telling them to be quiet, trying to silence them, and in that is a zajr, or an izdijar, you know, with an additional meaning there. So the meaning here, لَكِنَ الْمَعْنَى خِلَافُ ذَلِكَ, the meaning is not that, that they were saying that he's been warned by other than us, but rather كَذَّبُوا وَازْدَجَرُوهُ, they rejected him, and they also tried to censure him and to warn him to stop and to threaten him. طيب. فَإِذَا الْأَوْلَىٰ أَن تَقِفَ عَلَىٰ قَوْلِهِ وَقَالُوا مَجْنُونَ, and stop there. Then it's more befitting when you read this passage that you stop on the word مَجْنُونَ, even though it's not the end of the ayat, but that you stop there. And remember, we talked about this in our last class. What's the sign for an obligatory stop that would be in the middle of an ayat? It's a little meme written above that, not a meme indicating that a noon is tuqlabu meme and it's part of tajweed. No, this meme is the meme for stopping at a certain place. طيب. ثم تصل وتقول وازدجر. Then after pausing, you say وازدجر, and you complete the verse. فيكون هنا لم يقتصر هؤلاء المكذبون على أن كذبوا بل كذبوا وزجروا وتواعدوا وسخروا. Then the meaning is that they didn't suffice themselves with just saying that he's crazy or just rejecting him, sorry. They didn't suffice themselves with just rejecting his message. Rather, they rejected him and they forbade him from talking or from calling, and they threatened him and they mocked him. All of that. Right? وَلَمَّا طَالَ الْأَمَدِ, and when that began to go on and on, right? فَدَعَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَغْلُوبٌ فَانْتَصِرْ. Then Nuh, after much of this, and when we say طَالَ الْأَمَدِ, when it went on for a long time, what are we talking about with Nuh here? How long exactly? 950 years of da'wah. So when we're talking about patience in da'wah and a high status, an exemplary status of patience and virtue in da'wah, then Nuh is one of the pinnacles of the creation of Allah in that regard. Then at that time, he made dua to his Lord, and he said, I have been overcome, so come to my aid. فانتصر. There is an example of our scale there. Nasara in tasara. And there's the ta originally as a ta. It hasn't changed to a ta or anything else. So we have nasara in tasara. So when you use fi'l amr or a dua, fantasir, fantasir, yani give me nasr, give me aid, give me victory, give me support. Tayyib. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. Kalimatan. أَنِّي مَغْلُوبٌ فَانْتَصِرْ. He said two things. I have been overcome. I am مَغْلُوب from الْغَلَبَ. I have become overtaken. فَانْتَصِرْ. So come to my aid. وَلَقَدْ دَعَى أَهْلًا لِلْإِجَابَةِ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ فَأَجَابَ اللَّهُ قَالَ فَفَتَحْنَا أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَاءٍ مُنْهَمِرٍ. And his dua, he made dua in a way that was deserving to be answered. And so Allah, the Mighty and Most High, answered his supplication, saying, فَفَتَحْنَا أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَاءٍ مُنْهَمِرٍ. So we opened up the gates of the heavens with downpours of rain, with a lot of heavy downpours of rain. Right? Allahu Akbar. وَفِي قِرَاءَةٍ فَفَتَّحْنَا. In one qira'ah, remember the qira'at of the Qur'an, there are many. One of those modes of recitation is to say فَفَتَحْنَا, and another is to say فَفَتَّحْنَا. What's the difference? فَتَحْنَا, to be opened in a simple way. فَتَّحْنَا is we opened them up one after the other in succession many, many times. So if we said Zaydun fattaha al-bab, that means standing there opening the door again and again and again. If we said Zayd fattaha al-bab or fattaha Zaydun al-bab, it just means he opened the door likely once. Right? So fattaha, as soon as you put the shadda on the second letter, فَفَتَّحْنَا, then we continuously, successively, one after the next, opened up the gates of the heavens. Allahu Akbar. وَكِلَاهُمَا حَقٌّ, and each one of them is truth. What does that mean? Each one of them is truth. Each one of these two recitations is truth. Why? Huh? The meaning. The meaning. They're about the same. There's a difference in meaning. Yani, one indicates that the gates of the heavens were opened. The other one indicates that they were successively, continuously, one after the next, opened. So there's a difference in meaning. Minor one, but a difference in meaning.
Omar. The principle that we covered, where if you've got two meanings, as long as there's not textual proof that poses one of them, then both of them are correct.
You're close. Two meanings, we're going to talk about that in today's lesson. Two meanings that could be understood from one qira'ah. Here we have two different qira'ahs. So maybe if I ask this question, the issue will become more clear. Which qira'ah is the speech of Allah? Huh? Abu Bilal? Both of them. If we're talking about the qira'at of the Qur'an, the mutawatira, that are well known, then each and every one of them, with their distinctions and differences, they are the speech of Allah. Right? And so we don't say one is better than the other, or more appropriate, or more correct. We say, kilahuma haq. Both of them are haq. They are both the speech of Allah, Azza wa Jal. وَيَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ عَلِمَ الْقِرَاءَةَ الْأُخْرَىٰ, and it's upon a person who knows more than one qira'ah, and يَقْرَأَ بِهَذِهِ تَارَةً وَهَذِهِ تَارَةً, for a person who knows more than one qira'ah, then he should read with one of them sometimes, and the other at other times. Right? بِشَرْطْ أَنْ لَا يَكُونَ ذَلِكَ بِحَضْرَةِ الْعَوَّامِ, with the condition that this is not in the presence of the common people, meaning the common people who don't know any better. Right? Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Why not? The Shaykh explains. لِأَنَّ الْعَوَّامِ, because the common people, لَا يَنْبَغِي أَن تَقْرَأَ عَلَيْهِمْ قِرَاءَةً خَارِجَةً عَنِ الْمُصْحَفَ الَّذِي بِأَيْدِيهِمْ فَتُحْدِثُ لَهُمْ تَشْوِيشًا. It's not befitting that you read for the common people, except from the mushaf that they are accustomed to, that's in front of them, so that you don't create some confusion for them. Right? وَرُبَّمَا تَهْبِطُ مَنْزِلَةَ الْقُرْآنِ, and the status of the Qur'an that they are attached to, that they love, might become less. فِي نُفُوسِهِمْ, within their understandings. أَوْ يَنْسِبُوكَ إِلَى الْغَلَطِ وَالتَّحْرِيفِ, or perhaps they may assume that you are mistaken in what you have read, or you are twisting and changing the Qur'an. And this is very foreseeable when we talk about the common people, right? نعم. لكن عند طلبة العلم وعند التعليم, the place for the reading of more than one recitation is when you are seeking knowledge or when you are teaching knowledge in a circle of people who are, you know, learning. أو بينك وبين نفسك. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Or you're privately in seclusion, meaning in your Salah at night, and in your rawatib, in your optional prayers, and when you read the Quran outside of Salah, to yourself. ينبغي أن تقرأ بالقراءات الثابتة مرة بهذه ومرة بهذه. It's good, or it's befitting, that you read from the qira'at that you know that are established, الثابتة, sometimes this one and sometimes that one, right? And in one of the previous lessons, I mentioned to you the names of the seven qurra and the ruwat on them and all of that. You guys can review that if you're interested in the science of qira'at. طيب أو بينك كما نقول هذا أيضا في العبادات المتنوعة تفعل هذه مرة وهذه مرة. Just like when it comes to the other kinds of worship that are legislated to be done in different ways, that you do this one this way, or this variety sometimes, and another variety another time. كالاستفتاحاتي ونحوها. Like الاستفتاحات. الاستفتاح, from the beginning of the prayer, the dua that you make after you make the takbir, and before you begin reciting al-Fatiha, there's a dua there in your salat that's called dua al-istiftah, right? Kal istiftahat, the many duas of istiftah. Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, the muhaddith of this time, rahimahullah ta'ala, has a book called Sifatu Salat al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a description of the prayer of the Prophet, and in there he has about 15 different istiftah du'as that you make in the beginning of the salat. Some of them open, some of them specific for night prayers, some of them specific for certain occasions. However, all of them, you know, if you love the sunnah, and if you love to worship Allah with the variety that He legislated, then learn a second du'a, and a third du'a. And our Shaykh has encouraged that. Our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen has encouraged us to learn the varieties of the sunnah when there is a variety. And he mentioned a number of benefits, three I believe. Firstly, it's a reviving of the sunnah and bringing a practice back that perhaps people don't know about. Secondly, consciousness and khushu', submissiveness in the prayer. You'll be closer to paying attention to what you say when you're choosing this or that, instead of ritually just saying the same thing all of the time. Interesting point, right? Thirdly, practicing the sunnah as it was intended to be practiced. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself, even though he taught you that one variety, he never stuck to that one variety. So the real true following is to use a variety when he used a variety. Tayyib, so three benefits of learning more than one variety when there is a variety in the way of an act of worship should be done. فَفَتَحْنَا أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ. And so we opened the gates of the skies or the heavens. كُلُّ بَابٍ فِي السَّمَاءِ انْفَتَحَ. Every single gate in the sky was opened up. بِمَاءٍ مُنْهَمِرٍ, with downpours of continuous rain. أي مُنْصَبٌ صَبًّا شَدِيدًا. Yani with a great heavy amount of downpours. فَكَانَ كَأَفْوَاهِ الْقِرَبِ لَيْسَ كَالذَّرَّاتِ الْمَعْرُوفَةِ. Not like little drops, but rather massive, you know, downpours of, you know, of rain, not like a bucket pouring out, not like a drop. Buckets. We say in the West, raining cats and dogs. And we don't mean real cats and dogs, we just mean heavy downpour of rain. And that's probably not a correct comparison to talk about the flood of Noah, of course. But we say about heavy rain in the West, raining cats and dogs. So this is when the gates of the heavens were opened up to drop this massive amount of rain that flooded the whole earth, of course not comparable to any flood you've seen or any heavy rain that you have seen or that we have seen. بَلْ أَشَدْ, any more than that. وَفَجَّرْنَا الْأَرْضَ عُيُونَا, and we caused the earth to explode with springs of water from underneath the people's feet. You know, the spring, the عَيْن, in Arabic, from the many meanings of the word Ayn, is a spring of water that comes up from the ground. An Ayn. So Uyun is the plural of that Ayn. And you have other words. The Ayn is in your head. The Ayn is the letter of the Arabic language. The Ayn is a jasus. He's a spy in a time of war. It's called the Ayn. And so on. So Allah caused the earth to basically explode as something just fell off of me. Right? The earth exploded as springs of water gushing forth. أي عيونا من المياه, any springs of water. وتأمل قوله تعالى, at the beginning of page 270, think carefully about the statement of Allah the Most High. وفجرنا الأرض عيونا, and we caused the earth to explode as springs of water. لم يقل فجرنا عيون الأرض. Allah didn't say we caused the springs of the earth to explode, but rather the earth itself. كأن الأرض كلها كانت عيونا متفجرة, as if the whole earth was covered with springs of water gushing up. حتى التنور الذي هو أبعد ما يكون عن الماء لحرارته وَيَبُوسَتِهِ صَارَ يَفُورٌ. Even the oven, the tannur, that which is baked, that which bakes things. Tannur. طيب. The word tannur in the verses from Surah Hud is the source of differing amongst the Sahaba and amongst the early Tabi'een about what the meaning of the word tanur is. And some of them said it means an oven that you use to bake bread in. And that it was a specified place in the time of Nuh that was the highest and most honored place, is where they would cook. So it was an appointment from Allah Azza wa Jal that when the water reached that point, that is when Nuh was ordered by revelation to board the boat. Tayyib, that's the meaning of it being an oven. Not any oven, but the oven that Allah appointed for Nuh to be the sign that it is time now to get on the boat and now embark on the boat. Tayyib, that's one statement. Others said that the tanur meant the face of the earth. Once the face, the whole planet has been covered with water, then board the boat. Others said that it meant the morning light as well, as an appointment from Allah Azza wa Jalla, at the time of the morning light, then board the boat, and so on. Here the Shaykh has chosen the opinion that At-Tabari himself, the great Imam of Tafsir, chose, that it is an oven. And some scholars earlier even said, without an isnad, meaning without something back to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that it was an oven built by Adam, and it remained in place until the time of Nuh, and Allah Ta'ala knows best about that. At-Tabari brings that, and it is very likely from that kind of knowledge that won't benefit you if it's true, and if you didn't know it, it wouldn't harm you. But that's what's been said about the oven. Tayyib. So Allahu kama qala Allahu Azza wa Jalla, as Allah the Mighty and Majestic has said, hatta idha jaa amruna wa farat tanur, until or on and on the da'wah of Noah, until our order or our affair came about and the water reached the tanur, the oven. وفي هذه في هذا من الدلالة على قدرة الله تبارك وتعالى ما لا يخفى. And in this description of what happened is an image that is created about the capabilities of Allah, the all-encompassing, uninhibited, unlimited capabilities of Allah that is very clear to everyone. وأن هذه الفيضانات التي تحدث إنما تحدث بأمر الله. And this explosion of water, or these many explosions of water, or this flooding and this great amount of water that came forth, only took place by the order of Allah Azza wa Jal. وليست كما قال الطبيعيون إنها من الطبيعة. It's not like scientists say, those who are trying to explain everything as having a natural cause, and they use the word nature as an entity, saying that nature has done this and Mother Nature and things like that. Not like these people and what they say, that this was just something natural. Like it just so happened that the clouds by themselves happened to form a lot of rain, and it was just a natural flood that was very severe. Rather, no, it's not like that. Right? Or they say, يقولون هاجة الطبيعة غضبت الطبيعة. They're saying like the nature became upset, or nature took its revenge, or nature, you know, took out some punishment on people. These are not the speech, not from the speech of a Muslim. وما أشبه ذلك نسأل الله العافية. And similar statements, we ask Allah for safety, meaning we don't say these statements, and we seek refuge with Him from those who would talk like this about His destined and measured acts that He has willed to happen within His creation. We don't say Mother Nature is upset or things like that. We seek refuge with Allah from such disgusting statements. بَلْ هِيَ بِأَمْرٍ مَنْ يَقُولُ لِلشَّيْءِ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Rather, these things happen by way of the order of the one who says about things be, and they come into existence by his statement only. فالتقى الماء على أمر قد قدر. How's the time?
5-10 minutes.
Okay. Okay. طيب. So then the water. Where are we at? فالتقى الماء. The water met, meaning the two waters, the water from above and the water from below, they met at the measure of an affair that had been pre-planned. Meaning by Allah Azza wa Jal. Huna ma'ani. Here there are two types of water being discussed and being called al-ma', the water. ma'un nazilun min as-sama', there's water coming down from the heavens. Dalla alayhi qawluhu fa fatahna abwab as-sama'i bima'in munhamir. And we opened up the gates of the heavens to bring downpours, heavy downpours of rain. Wa ma min al-ard, that ma, that hamza at the beginning of the line should go with the word ma on the previous line. It should say wa ma'un, and then min al-ard. That hamza doesn't belong by itself in the beginning of a line. Min al-ardi nabi'un. Dalla alayhi qawluhu. And then there's water gushing up as a spring from the ground, which is alluded to in the statement of Allah, وَفَجَّرْنَا الْأَرْضَ عُيُونًا. And we caused the earth to explode in springs of water gushing from below. فَلِمَاذَا لَمْ يَقُلْ فَالْتَقَ الْمَاءَانِ. So why didn't Allah say the two types of water met? The two kinds of water met. Instead, he just said, فَالْتَقَ الْمَاءُ, the water met. Right? لِأَنَّ الْمُرَادَ مَاءُ السَّمَاءِ وَمَاءُ الْأَرْضِ. Why didn't he say the two types of water, the type from the sky and the type from underneath the earth? قَالَ الْعُلَمَاءُ, the scholars have said, إِنَّهُ أَرَادَ الْجِنْسِ, Allah intended the generality of water that includes both water from the sky and water from the ground. لِأَنَّ الْجِنْسَ هُنَا واحد, the kind of water in this case from the ground or from the sky, it is one kind of water essentially. مَاءُ الْأَرْضِ وَمَاءُ السَّمَاءِ. أَوْ يُقَالُ, or it can be said, لِأَنَّهُ لَمَّا كَانَ الْمَقْصُودُ بِهَذَيْنِ الْمَاءَيْنِ شَيْئًا وَاحِدًا وَهُوَ عَذَابُهُمْ صَحَّ إِفْرَادُهُ. Or it has been said as well that since the intended meaning of the water from above and the water from below is the punishment of Allah, then that is befitting that it's mentioned as one kind of water. The punishment from above and below, it's all one thing, it's all punishment. So then it's okay to refer to that as al-ma'u, like it's one thing. Ala amrin qad qudir, upon a way or in a way that was predestined or planned and measured. أي على شيء قد قضاه الله تعالى وقدره في الأزل. In a way that Allah had destined or decreed, Allah the Most High, and He had measured in previous or before the presence of the creation. فَإِنَّهُ مَا مِن شَيْءٍ يَحْدُثُ إِلَّا وَهُوَ مَكْتُوبٌ. Since there is nothing that happens in the creation except that it is already written. كما قال تعالى وكل شيء أحصيناه في إمام مبين. And every single matter, it has been collected or enumerated or quantified, or you could say أحصيناه, it has been recorded in measure, in full description, in a clear book, in a clear imam. Here the word imam means kitab, book. طيب. And this is from our belief in the Qadr, one of the usul, one of the very principal beliefs that we have in Islam is أن تؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره, and that you believe in the Qadr, the divine destiny, the divine way that Allah has decreed every single thing to happen, with what we affirm as knowledge before it happened, full measure of how it was to happen, the order for it to happen, right? As well as writing it before it happened. Those are the four, what they call the four ways we understand the Qadr. That Allah knew and knows about everything that takes place. That Allah wrote it, al-kitaba. That Allah ordered it, right? That Allah ordered it, and that Allah measured it. Naam. يعني من أعمال بني آدم, regarding the actions of the descendants of Adam. That verse, by the way, is in Surah Yasin. وكل شيء أحصيناه في إمام مبين. ومما يقع في الأرض كل شيء. And as it relates to the actions of the people, as well as every single thing that takes place on the face of the earth, everything. محصى. It's all been counted and measured, huh? ولهذا قال على أمر قد قدر. In a way, this took place in a way that had been pre-measured or pre-planned or predestined. وَحَمَلْنَاهُ. Should I continue here? No? Continue? طيب. وَحَمَلْنَاهُ عَلَى ذَاتِ أَلْوَاحٍ وَدُسُرٍ. One of my favorite verses in the Quran, this one. And it has a very, very deep meaning. And we carried him, Nuh, and those with him, upon boards and nails. Carried him on boards and nails. And in some of the tafsirs, some of the explanations offered by the ulama here, they're more expressive than what our sheikh chooses to talk about here. And I'd like to introduce that after we read what our sheikh says here. Because it's one of my favorite tafsirs. And you'll see why. Allah referred to the ship of Noah. And it was not a small ship. And it was not weak. And it was not something to look down upon. But he called it boards and nails. Boards and nails for a benefit. A huge benefit that you'll get from that, inshallah. Let's listen to what our sheikh says. أي حملناه حملنا نوحا وأهله إلا من سبق عليه القوم منه. We carried Noah and his family, except for those who had been decreed to be, you know, from those destroyed. وأمره الله تعالى أن يحمل فيها من كل زوجين اثنين ومن آمن معه. And Allah ordered him to take with him on that boat and to carry with him on that boat everyone who believed, and also two animals of every type. Right? وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. And the only ones who believed in him really were just a few people. حَمَلَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى ذَاتِ أَلْوَاحٍ وَدُسُرٍ. Allah carried them all, him and all of them, upon boards and nails. Alwah from lawh, and dusur is masamir, pins or board, nails, sorry. يعني على سفينة ذات ألواح ودسر. The meaning of boards and nails is a ship made of boards and nails. وكان نوح عليه الصلاة والسلام يصنعها. And it was Nuh that had been building this boat. فيمر به قومه ويسخرون منه. And his people would come past him and see him building the boat, and they would laugh at him. All right, they would scoff at him. قال الله عز وجل ويصنع الفلك وكلما مر عليه ملأ من قومه سخروا منه. And he was building the ship. Every time a group of his tribe would come by, would pass by him, they would mock him. They would make fun of him. قال إن تسخروا منا فإنا نسخر منكم كما تسخرون. He would say to them, the Prophet Nuh was min ulul azam, from the most powerful, most patient, most enduring messengers, not weak, not confused, not oppressive, not vengeful, not spiteful, as the West wants to depict him in their filthy movies that they have no right to do. But Nuh was brave and strong, and with the confidence that comes with having revelation sent to you from Allah. He said this statement, if you're going to mock us, then we'll be mocking you. Then we'll be mocking you, meaning later in the hereafter, just as you mock us now. He wasn't afraid, he wasn't unsure. The Christians depict Nuh, even the Christians who are religious and say that they love the prophets, they depict Nuh as being weak, as being confused, doesn't know why he's being ordered to build, unconfident in his order that he's been told to do, you know, thinking of himself as being, not rightly guided and so on. This is Nuh, according to the Quran though, that he said to them, if you're going to mock us, then we'll be mocking you as you're mocking us, meaning in the hereafter, huh? فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ يَأْتِيهِ عَذَابٌ يُخْزِيهِ وَيَحِلُّ عَلَيْهِ عَذَابٌ مُقِيمٌ. You're going to know who is going to have the punishment that will disgrace him and cause him to be a resident of the ongoing eternal punishment. That's from Surah Hud, right? وَهَذِهِ السَّفِينَةِ وَصَفَهَا اللَّهُ بِأَنَّهَا ذَاتُ الْوَاحِدِ. This ship, Allah had described it as being boards, a thing made of boards. وَأَلْوَاحُ وألواح جمع منكر يدل على شيئين. الشيء الأول كثرة ألواحها والثاني عظمة هذه الألواح. The Shaykh says here that ألواح is called جمع mukaththar, or I'm sorry, a munakkar, which indicates that this kind of plural of lawha, alwah, it means a lot, a very many, it's a large number, jam'u kathra, a large kind of plural. In Arabic, you have some plurals that indicate a handful and a small number, and some plurals indicate a large number, and we don't have that in English at all. We throw an S on things, or we have our plural. We don't have different plurals. Do we have different plurals for words? In any case, really? In Arabic, we have many different plurals for a word. If we mention ayn, you have a'yun, you have uyun, and so on. You have different plurals. We have jam'u qilla, jam'u kathra, a plural that indicates a small number and a plural that indicates a large number. That's from the richness, the breadth of the Arabic language. So here he's saying this plural indicates a large number and also large in size. Large in size of the pieces and a large number of those pieces. Huh? That's what you get from alwah. Tayyib. وَحُقَّ لِسَفِينَةٍ تَحْمِلُ الْبَشَرَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا أَنْ تَكُونَ ذَاتْ أَلْوَاحٍ عَظِيمًا. And it's very deserving that a boat that's going to carry all of humanity, and you can add to that animals as well, animal life, that it should be a very huge boat with large planks of wood and so on. ودسر, and nails, أي مسامير, وقيل إن الدسر ما تربط به الأخشاب فيكون أعم من المسامير. It's also been said that the word dusur is not just nails, but any type of fastening or rope or anything that would keep the wood panels or planks together. So perhaps rope, perhaps staples or things like that, anything that would keep the wood plate pieces together. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. هذه الدعوة التامة وصلاة القائم الآتي وفعل الفضيل في القائم المحمود الذي May Allah Ta'ala bless our Shaykh Muhammad ibn Hadi al-Madkhali with good health. May Allah bless him with good health. May Allah give him a good, speedy recovery. The Sheikh had heart surgery just 2 days ago. Yeah? No. Tayyib. Masamir, maybe nails or anything that would be used to keep those planks together, nails and other things. Tayyib. لِأَنَّ الْأَخْشَابِ قَدْ تُرْبَطُ بِالْمَسَامِيرِ وَقَدْ تُرْبَطُ بِالْحِبَالِ. Wood planks could be kept together by nails and they could be kept together by rope as well. فَالْمُهِمْ أَنَّ تَوْثِيقَ هَذِهِ الْأَلْوَاحِ بَعْضِهَا بِبَعْضٍ كَانَ قَوِيًّا. What's important to know is that the way these boards were kept together was very strong, a very proper or very fit way. وَإِنَّمَا ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مَادَةَ صَنْعِ السَّفِينَةِ وَأَنَّهَا مِنَ الْأَخْشَابِ وَالْمَسَامِيرِ. And Allah mentioned the materials that the boat was built from to represent the boat itself here, and that it was boards and nails or the things that would keep the boards together, أو الروابط التي تربط بين تلك الأخشاب ليكون ذلك تعليما للبشر, so that that would be a way to educate the human beings, educating the people, and يصنع السفن على هذا النحو, to build boats in this way, to build boats out of wood and nails. And then that's the end of it. And I believe from my readings in Tafsir that there's a big benefit here that the Shaykh doesn't mention, and other scholars have mentioned it. It is that alwah and dusur are mentioned as simple things. When you think of a boat, it's many things. It's not just boards and nails. Perhaps the boards and the nails are the most essential and prominent things, but a boat is much more than boats and nails. So why did Allah reduce the mention of this massive boat that should, if you think historically about a boat that the entire humanity and all animal life was on, it must have been magnificent, it must have been powerful to survive a flood that drowned the entire earth. So we're talking about a magnificent boat, yet Allah called it boards and nails. To show that what was really saving Nuh was Allah Azza wa Jal. To show you the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. To show you His might and His majesty. No boards and nails will save anyone from the whole earth being covered with water. Boards and nails won't save you. But it is Allah Azza wa Jal who gave him revelation. It was Allah Azza wa Jal who gave him success. It was Allah who guided him to build that boat. It was Allah Azza wa Jal who made that boat float. And had it not been for that, they were just boards and nails that would sink like everything else. Boards and nails were in their houses, but nobody was saved by the boards and nails that they had in other places. So just being boards and nails, I believe that this Quranic passage indicates the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal by mentioning the status of this great ship as being boards and nails. That you would understand that it wasn't the boards and nails that saved Nuh, but who was it? It was Allah Azza wa Jal and His power alone that saved Nuh. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. تجري أي تسير على هذا الماء. The boat went on, it floated on upon this water. الماء العظيم الذي بلغ قمم الجبال. The water that reached the highest peaks of the mountaintops. والتقى فيه ماء الأرض وماء السماء. And this flood that, you know, the water from underneath reached the water from the sky. The waters reached each other. بِأَعْيُنِنَا, right? It went and it sailed. Now here's a difficult thing to translate. Through or by way of our eyes. By way of our eyes. When you read the tafsir, some Salafi tafsirs like Ibn Kathir, you'll find بِمَرْءَ مِنَّا, with our supervision. And it's as if the Ash'aris have found a little piece of something. Because Allah mentions here eyes for Himself. And you go to the Salafi tafsir of Ibn Kathir, and Ibn Kathir says, بِمَرْءَ مِنَّا, with supervision from us. Like as if Ibn Kathir has explained away the eyes as being supervision. Not the truth. To explain something as it's lazim, that if they were sailing under the eyes of Allah, under the watchful eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal, then that would mean with divine supervision. That's the result of Allah's eyes. Not that you go and negate that Allah has eyes. Big difference. You say the meaning of the ship of Nuh sailing under the eyes of Allah, the result would be total supervision, guidance, protection, all of those things. But not that you explain away the eyes and say Allah doesn't have eyes really. As the Ash'aris do. Know your enemies, Ahlul Sunnah. The Ash'aris have filthy statements against Allah Azza wa Jal. They take His speech where He has described Himself. And they negate that speech, and they replace that speech with tahrif, with twisted words, in the way of the Jews. And they say, no, Allah doesn't have an eye, and Allah doesn't have a hand, and Allah doesn't have a foot, and Allah doesn't have this, and Allah doesn't have that. Allah doesn't have a face. To the point where they say, Allah doesn't have mercy. They go so far as to say that. Allah doesn't have mercy, He only has irada. There's no mercy, He just has a want to do something. So He wants to reward some people. He doesn't have mercy. Because mercy is a weakness in the heart. And leaning towards something out of compassion and weakness. A personal weakness. Have mercy on your child so you don't punish him, but he deserves to be punished. It's a weakness. It's a personal weakness. So they've understood the attributes of Allah as human attributes. and that's why they negate them. They don't understand the attributes of Allah as Allah revealed them. Al-Wahid al-Qahhar. لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ And there's nothing like him. هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيَّ Do you know anything that's even similar to him? So when Allah described himself with those attributes, then he knows best about himself, and we understand those attributes to be divine attributes that we affirm for himself as he has affirmed for himself. They are perfect and complete without deficiencies, not similar to the attributes of the creation. We say that the face of Allah is not like the face of any of his created beings. It is a majestic, true face of honor and glory, befitting to our Lord, not like the faces of any created being. And with that, we've affirmed what Allah has affirmed for himself, and we feel no haraj, we have no problem. We stand in line with the Quran and the Sunnah. But when we say, no, there's no face, really. To be honest, it's really not a face. It's really majesty. That's the meaning of face. It's majesty. And there's really no hand. Don't affirm a hand. Because if you affirm a hand for Allah, what is it? You're making Allah to have body parts like a human being. That's their rationale. Because they've only understood a hand as a human hand. And since they could not understand Allah as he should be understood, that his attributes do not resemble anything that we have witnessed in the creation, then we know for sure that Allah's hand is not like our hands. Allah's hand is not like our hands. So there's no need to say he can't have a hand because that would be like a human hand. Of course he has a hand because he said he has a hand, and of course that hand is unlike the hands of his creation. And we are safe with that. We are in the safety of having the correct Salafi creed with this belief. So the ship sailed on under the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning under the supervision of Allah Azza wa Jal, without negating that Allah has eyes. Verily, your Lord is not A'war. Your Lord is not one-eyed. And the Masih al-Dajjal is A'war. He is one-eyed. Meaning your Lord has two eyes. Some people might say here, and I'm going away from what the Shaykh would say, but I'm actually bringing you his explanation in Books of Aqidah here. They would say A'yun in Arabic is three or more. They want you to negate the A'yun. The point is here, people of Bid'ah, they would like you to negate that Allah has eyes. So they say to you, in Arabic we have Mufrad, Muthanna, and Jam'. So, Mufrad means one. Then we have a dual plural. And then we have the triple plural, the plural with three or more. And Allah said, A'yun, which is the plural, which means in the language three or more. Oh, what do you say now? Allah has affirmed for himself, A'yun, not just Aynain. Do we say Allah has three or more eyes? La. We say what Ahl Sunnah said. That Allah Azza wa Jal has two eyes that befit His Majesty. And this three, where do we get this three from? Or this plural, how do we handle this plural? We go back to the Arabic language. When there's an idafa of a plural to something that's clearly known that there's only two, then we understand it to be two by that qarina, by that evidence. Speaking of Aisha and Hafsa, Allah said, إِن تَتُوبَا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ صَغَتْ قُلُوبُكُمَا Addressing Hafsa and Aisha, if you repent to Allah, then your hearts will be pure. قُلُوبُكُمَا Two people are mentioned here. Two people are being referred to with the dhamir, huma, قُلُوبُكُمَا Sorry, your two hearts. But the word is qulub, not qalbaykuma, not your two hearts, but your hearts, plural. Which if you stick to the strict rule there, it should be that Aisha and Hafsa share three hearts somehow. We say no, Aisha and Hafsa don't share three hearts. Rather, the intended meaning is the two hearts of Aisha and Hafsa, radiyallahu anhuma. And that's the Arabic language that the Quran was revealed in, and we have to stop here. Sending salat and salam on the Messenger of Allah, the finest of creation, and upon his family and companions, and all of those who follow his way in truth and righteousness until the last day. Wallahu a'lam, and we'll meet back here, inshallah, next week at this time on Mirath Radio. Wassalamu alaikum.